Rav Metzia, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Yud Beis 4:12, the last of the Perek, and more on restrictions on deceptive business practices. It says, Hatagar notel mechamesh garanos v'nos nosoch mogura achas. A merchant is permitted to receive, collect grain from five different threshing floors. A goran is where they thresh it, meaning five different fields, five different suppliers, and then put it, all that different grain, into a megura achas. A megura is a place where you store stuff, so in this context it would be like a grain silo. The idea is that even though he's combining the grains, people understand that when they're buying from the merchant, even if he has his own fields, people understand that the grain they're purchasing isn't necessarily from his fields, it's from the fields in the area from where he's sourcing all his grain. And similarly, mechamash gitos venos leptoch pitam echad, he can source his wine from five different wine sources, you know, five different wineries, and then put all of that wine into a single pitam, again, like a large container, a vat where they store the wine. The point is that people understand that his wine is coming from multiple sources and being mixed together, and people therefore not being misled, even if he has his own winery. They get it, it's not. They get it. The setup is that he's not just selling from his own winery. Ubilvach lo yehe miskaven la'ariv. Provided that his intention isn't to do whatever you're not allowed to do in the previous Mishnah, which forbade ma'arvin peros peperos. So that means, according to Rashi and the Bartanura, if people think they're getting it from his field, like, you know, he runs a vineyard, and they go to the specific winery that he's running, they think they're getting from his winery the wine that came from there, but actually he's got a blend of other things as well. That's misleading. If people are expecting it from his only, then he's misleading them, and it will be forbidden. Certainly, according to the other Pshat, the Rosh, if he's intentionally adding inferior quality, in this case wine, to make more volume from his quality grapes, that again, of course, is misleading and therefore forbidden. Reb Yuda Omer lo yachalek Hachenvani klayos ve'gozim latinokos. Reb Yehuda says that the shopkeeper isn't allowed to distribute, klayos is like toasted grains, I think like sugar smacks, honey smacks, that kind of thing, shalva in Israel. Ve'gozim are nuts, so think of this as like candy, to tinokos, to little kids. If the shopkeeper is distributing candy to little kids, the problem is the kids want to go to his shop, and as the Mishnah says, Mipnei Shehu Margilan Lavo Etzlo, because he's getting them accustomed to coming specifically to his shop. And the concern is, says Rabbi Yehuda, that essentially will be an unfair sales practice, because it will make the kids drag their mommies into his store instead of other stores, and then the people who are in other stores won't be able to make a living. And although the Torah really embraces like a pretty capitalistic free market economy, laissez-faire approach to things, it does have certain guardrails, and the guardrails are put in place to ensure that people can make an honest living, and that's important. And that being the case of Rabbi Yehuda, this is no good. However, the Chacham Matir and the rabbis and the Halacha permits this kind of thing, because if shopkeeper A is giving out, candy, klaios and agozim, so then shopkeeper B, if he wants, can give out popcorn, and they can go into competition. What's the problem? It's not unfair to have this kind of competition, and therefore it's permitted. Further says the Mishnah, v'lo yifchos es hasha'ar. The salesperson, this is also Rabbi Yehuda talking again, he cannot sell at a price beneath the fixed market price, basically sort of undercutting his competitors by sort of like a loss leader type thing even. The point is to sell merchandise at below the normal price is forbidden, says Rabbi Yehuda. His name's not explicit, but that's who's talking. Because again, it'll force the competitors to drop their prices. They can't earn an honest living. And that puts unfair pressure on them, and that's no good. But the Chacham Omrim Zachur Latov, the Chacham say to the contrary, it's a marvelous thing for the salesmen to drop their prices, because it means that the price in the general market will come down. And although, like I said before, the Torah sort of embraces competition, the notion of the capitalist notion that we have in our free market, 21st century world, is that competition will drive down prices, which is for the benefit of the consumer. That is not exactly what's driving this, because what's driving it more is We don't want exploitation to happen later. See, what happens is we're not so concerned that everyone should get the cheapest grain possible. We just want everyone to have grain. We want everyone's, you know, stomachs to be full and everyone's be able to make an honest living. The thing is that, remember, in the time of the Mishnah, grain came out once a year when it was the end of the harvest season. And there were speculators, essentially, who would hoard grain and keep it for later on in the year when people were sort of desperate for grain. There's no more grain to come around, so therefore they could ask for exorbitant prices. So by pushing the prices down now, it'll encourage people to buy more grain now, and also discourage speculators from holding things, because they'll think they're not going to make a living. And that will then ensure that, not necessarily now, things are so much cheaper, as in the future they will be cheaper, because it won't be these speculators that are unfairly driving with the price later on, because that would be bad for people. So since we're benefiting the consumer, so everyone's got food to eat, that is a good thing, and therefore Zachor L'Tov, and that's the din as well. Further says the Mishnah, Lo Yavor Es HaGrisin Divrei Abishol. Abishol holds that you can't, like, sift the beans. This is, you know, imagine, I think if you think of, you know, like, think of shelled peanuts. So, you know, the peanut has this, the peanut is kind of, I'll call it, like, white color, you know, tan, brown, and then it's got, like, this sort of, like, this red skin, which is a big mess. And kind of no one wants to eat that red skin. You'd be happy to sort of sift it away and just get the yummy, you know, light brown nut without that red skin. So, what Abishol is saying is you can't sell peanuts or the equivalent in a way that they've already been, all that extra skin has been sifted away, because then people think your peanuts are much better than their competitors because they look much nicer, and therefore they'll pay a disproportionately high price. They'll be overpaying because they'll overestimate the value and quality of your peanuts because you made it look nicer. And therforeAbishol says that's deceptive and therefore forbidden, but the Chacham Matir and the Chacham say yes, you can. Why? Because people understand two things. First of all, people see, they understand, yes, this is what peanuts look like when they're sifted, and therefore they'll pay a higher price because that's what people are. And second of all, even if you'll say, listen, the value of the sifted with the unsifted is not that big a difference, so why is it such a premium on the sifted? The answer is, listen, no one wants to bother to sift and get rid of all that stuff. They don't do the work. So since the salesman is doing the work of getting the chaff off of the greasin, like the peanuts, etc., so he's doing him a service, and people are prepared to pay for that service. That's permitted. That'll be the din also. Umodim, however, the rabbis do agree. Shlo yavor me'al piha magura, she'enu ela kagonav esa'ayin. They say you can't, the rabbis agree, what you cannot do is sift off, like sort of clean up just the top layer of, I'll call them peanuts, and the top of the barrels where you're selling them. And when people come, they buy like a whole barrel worth, and they think it's all been sifted when it hasn't. So you're tricking them. It looks much nicer than it really is, because when they get to the lower down of the container, they've been deceived, and it's going to be low quality. That, of course, is forbidden as a deceptive sales practice. That's the din also. And finally, it's kagona vesa'ayin, and that means literally it steals the eye. That's a literal translation, but it means, again, it deceives the person. So deceptions are a concern here, and that is certainly a deceiving practice, therefore it's forbidden. Finally, says the Mishnah, Ein mefarkasin lo esa adam velo esa behema velo esa kalim. The word mefarkas, it's a little bit unusual word here. It means to sort of embellish. The idea being making something look better than it really is. You're hiding its defects. And that, of course, is being deceptive. And that's forbidden, therefore. So, Lois Adam, a person, this talks about a human who's being sold like on a slave market. So, let's say you've got an elderly gentleman who's being sold as a slave. He's got gray hair. No one wants to buy an old man. So, you dye his hair black. So, people think he's 40 instead of 60 years old. So they are prepared to buy him. But that's really misleading because, you know, of course, he really is a gray-haired 60-year-old man. And therefore, you've tricked people. Similarly, when it comes to the behema, the idea is if you feed the behema like a lot of, like, I don't know, water enriched with bran or something, it gets swollen. It looks like there's more meat on the bone than it really is. It looks like it's healthier than it really is. And therefore, people are misled. And of course, they take it home and the animal gets back to its normal level of hydration and they got tricked. Okay, so that's forbidden. And finally, veloas akalim, other things you're selling, utensils. You can't sort of give it a fresh coat of paint and cover up its problems, because people are being tricked. So this is not referring to new kalim. Obviously, when you're selling something new, you can make it look nice and shiny and polish it up, because that's what people want to see when they're buying a new, whatever it is, they're buying a new car, you know? But if it's an old car, a used car, which has all, you know, been accidents and has been repaired and so on, but you just give it a fresh coat of paint and make it look like a new car, that's misleading and deceptive, and therefore it's forbidden. So therefore, when it comes to used kalim, used utensils, you may not embellish them in such a way that it disguises the problems that, or the shortcomings or the blemishes that really are there.